to the person that's given it. You get it? Quite a difference.
Hey,
if you pray because you enjoy it, God doesn't hear that prayer. That's as good as a good drink. That's just like taking a good drink. But if you it's a pain in the neck to do it, those are the ones that they just... Fella asked me why I have those two crucifixes, one up on each easel. It may be funny to some of you fellas too, but I'm a kind of a nut. He's the only one that ever listened to my prayer. And he doesn't always answer the way I want it either. It's on his terms, see? But I'm just a big enough fool to believe it.
That's what I thought.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm an awful sample of a good Catholic Jew, I want to tell you that. And it's real good, really. I love to think of it. I went up on the Yucatan with Captain Johnny O'Brien was captain.
Dynamite Johnny O'Brien.
Yeah. And it took us 11 days to get there.
What year was that, Dick?
I got there January the 15th, 1909. January the 15th, 1909. And a beautiful morning we got there. And the mountains were just magnificent with the sun out. I thought I was in paradise right. And a little fella with a fried egg hat on and a cape, he's a high church Anglican minister who later became President Roosevelt's pastor at Hyde Park. And I visited him there and I met Roosevelt there too, and his wife and the boy, the kids. And I've met them since too. Oh, I never speak about anything but distinguished friends and rich people and stuff like that. I don't know any poor or uncultured people at all.
I noticed you're a bit of a name dropper.
Yeah, that's the kind of a guy I am. Well, we got off that boat and walked up to town, and some of the ladies on that boat were even carrying cages. One of them had a monkey, another had a parrot, and so forth. I had never seen that profession in my life before. I was 25 years old at that time. They were ladies. You know what I mean. Well, on this dock with this little parson, he said, "Well, we have a wedding tonight, Mr. Ziegler." I said, "Now, what's your name?" He said, "Edward Pearson's Newton." "Well, you're Ed to me, and I'm Zig. Take that." He didn't like me. I could see that. He was a gentleman, you see. And he said, "We've got to stop and get some decorations for that wedding." And the first place he stopped was a saloon. And this was early in the morning. And a big fellow with a handlebar mustache, I can call him a name, but I don't want to use any name.
Oh, this was in Valdez.
This was in Cordova. Cordova.
Okay.
And Newton said, "Horace, give me those flowers." "Well, Parson," he says, "I can't give you those flowers off the bar." I said, "What's the idea? We're going to have a wedding." He said, "Of course you give them to me." And he just went up and helped himself. Then we went to a millinery store. And the woman running a millinery store, another fella had put her up to a millinery store and bought her for her. He was taking care of her. He was a common lawyer, dead now, fortunately. Nice fella, too. He said, "So-and-so, I want all the artificial flowers you got in the place." "Oh, Mr. Newton. So-and-so's being married at 9 o'clock this morning, and we've got to have them." So we walked out with 20 boxes of artificial flowers. We went up there and put them in the red dragon, decorated the place, and had the wedding. Well, that was Newton. Well, that was the first day, but I wasn't anywhere near through. There was a photograph gallery there, and I was very anxious to get into it to see it. And the fellow that ran it was E.A. Hegg. And he turned out to be the greatest Alaskan photographer I believe we ever had, particularly in regard to the gold rush. And they're publishing a wonderful book on him right now, and it's a knockout. Right. Well, I knew him well later. But I went into his gallery. That and the Red Dragon were the only two buildings in there that didn't have canvas roofs at that time. And I looked up and I saw a couple of most beautiful watercolors, just masterly, you know. And I had had a good art training by the time I was 25 years old, and I had even earned my living and paid board, always. And I've always been fortunate about selling pictures. But of course, I'm doing much better now than I have done at times. But then, during the Depression, I was really poor. Well, this Hegg, my mind may wander for just a minute. This Hegg, when I said, "Who did the pictures?" And he gave a yell and he says, "Sid," to the next room. And this fella came in. He wasn't quite as tall as I am. I'm pretty small. I think I'm 5'4". I think Sidney must have been a 5'3". That's one reason I liked him. He was smaller than I was. I love small men. None of that for me. This tall, dark, handsome business, I don't like. Well, he said, "Are they as good as you say?" Heck said, "I said, they're a lot better than they look. They're like Wagner's music. They're better than they sound." Say, listen, am I doing all right?
Fine.
Okay.
Forget it.
Yeah, I can't help it. Looks at me once in a while. And Sidney was very hard to converse with. He was very, very deaf. And when you spoke to him, he could hear you all right. But you couldn't hear him. He spoke. And we weren't enemies. But we knew each other very well. I was go that far. And we talked about painting a great deal, too. And there never was a sweeter character, I'll say that, aside from his painting. And it's a lot better to be a sweet character than just to be a great painter, I think, see. That's why you people love me so much right now, see. I hate every one of these fellas. So, they were selling these pictures for about $7.50 and $10. And I did some my best missionary work right there. I started in and I told him that I thought Lawrence was a very great painter. And he was at that time too. He was a very good painter. Now he had a picture purchased by the Luxembourg Galleries in Paris. Now that's a government museum. The Louvre is not the government museum, the Luxembourg is. And they purchased a picture from Sidney Lawrence. Well, that's just the same as arriving there.
Well, Zig, you remember if that was the
Cornwall Coast.
The Cornwall Coast.
Cornwall Coast. And I've seen photographs of it too. That was sufficient, but they only pay $500 for any picture they ever buy. Because it makes the artist. He's arrived when the Luxembourg buys a painting. And there is a very vain probability that it may get into the Louvre, see? But only one in 10,000 ever gets there. And this story about, you can leave this out if you want it, Sidney having a picture in the Louvre, that's all a fake. Never happened, and no living artist ever had a picture in the Louvre except a Spaniard named Braque, B-R-A-Q-U-E, and he's the only one. I hope you know who I'm talking about now, and I hope they'll know who I'm talking about, because no living artist but Braque ever had a picture, the one-man show in the Louvre.
And Mrs. Ziegler talked with one of the curator of the museum where a certain artist had an exhibition. And she said it was not the Louvre that this exhibit was given in a talk. It was in a museum near the Louvre. Well, there's quite a difference. Well, I don't want to tell any bad things about anybody. I made a stinker right there. I never should have told that story either, but maybe he can cut it out.
Did you ever sketch with...
Oh, I never sketched with Sue, but my gosh, he told me a lot of good things about painting. He helped me forgive. I never pupil of his at all.
What do you think about him as a painter of mountains?
I think he's just tops. That is, now, when it comes to the best of his best pictures, and that goes for Ziegler too, I've painted a lot of punk pictures. I don't say that Lawrence ever painted any. If I did know it, I'd laugh on it, see? But every painter paints good pictures and bad pictures too.
Did you go into...
But Lawrence's best pictures are great. Now, there's no question about it.
Is it true that Ziegler spent almost a year painting Mount McKinley?
What?
Is it true that you said that Barnes spent almost a year painting Mount McKinley, living in a cabin by himself?
No. It was probably... I don't want to depreciate anything that's come up, but so many crazy stories have been told about
no,
it. He made three trips in there. And the first trip, I think he stayed in there about 3 months. Well, I'm not positive, but I think it was about 3 months. It was after I met him. And the story of his hardships in there is much overdrawn. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say things like that. I shouldn't express myself as I do in regard to it, because I have such an admiration for that man's work. And Alaska's not going to produce a greater painter for a long, long time. And when somebody said that even Ziegler was Alaska's greatest living painter, the day I say that, I hope I die. The day I think it, I hope I never think it. Fergus, it was very kind of you to say it, and I don't want to say that I don't appreciate it, because I have a subtle way of loving those little remarks that you make occasionally about me, and I wish I could get over them, but pride is the first of the cardinal sins, and I'm very guilty of it.
I only said you were the greatest living Alaskan.
I know it. Well, I don't. If I ever thought that and expressed it, I'd like to drop dead. Because I often say that it isn't so. But I hope it's so. Good heavens! But I don't believe it's so. Honest to truth, I do not. I know some of those slobs up there in Alaska that I envy. I envy most. Several of them I envy very much. And that kind of feeling brings me. Murder, envy, and hatred in your heart. So does ambition. And I quit being ambitious at 50 years of age, and I've been a damn sight happier ever since.
Well, listen, Zig, did Lawrence ever get so he got some real money for his paintings?
He never got any big money for his paintings. I think that he did get as much as... I know one picture that sold for $10,000 in his lifetime. And that was a picture that Belle Simpson had. And he got a Lincoln car for it. Belle and her husband were the agents for the Lincoln car there in Juneau, and they gave him a Lincoln car for that picture. And whether Lawrence got any money out of it, I don't know.
Now, was that the huge painting of Mount McKinley that's still in Juneau?
Yeah.
She's never been able to sell it for what she wants for it, $40,000.
Well, she hadn't got that. The hotel keeper's daughter, there was a hotel keeper up there that ran the Anchorage Hotel in the early days. Mrs. So-and-so, I can't remember her name now, and her son inherited the picture. He still has it, and I think it's hanging in a bank in Anchorage.
Hanging in the bank of Matanuska.
Is it a long, narrow picture?
It's a vertical.
Is it up and down? Oh, that isn't it. It's 11 feet wide and 6 feet high, this famous picture. And that's the greatest picture he ever painted that I've seen. And the next greatest picture of his that I've ever seen is the one in Alaska University. It's a dandy. It's a 5 by 6 feet, I think. And that's a great one, a very great picture. And there's some very great pictures by Lawrence in Alaska. And freaking me, you run out of some pretty bad ones. When you get old, like Lawrence and I did, and he died at 75, I think. And here I'm in my 86th year. And by gosh, I know you get worse, but people are awfully ignorant. You, the whole gang you are, I know very well, you must be ignorant to think that I'm not going down in my pain. I know I'm going down in my pain. I'm not unhappy about it either. I'm happy as can be.
You got to come in a little closer here, will you?
I'm very happy over the whole thing. When I can paint.
Well, in what school of painting would you place Sidney Lawrence? How do you classify him?
He's a naturalistic painter.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, he followed nature closely. He didn't use his... he used his head when he painted.
How was he when it came to anatomy?
Huh? No, terrible. His women were just... They had pretty large hips on them, and they were built up in several places for perfectly ridiculous. It's like the salmon packers like to see them, you know. And now it happens. You can cut that out, kid. His nudes were terrible. And he knew it, he couldn't paint them. He painted witches and stuff like that in caves, and they were terrible.
Well, he was an experienced mariner, hand before the mast, skipper. How was he when he came to drawing boats?
Well, he had to get a little help on it. And he got help from a very good friend of mine named Charles Stanford that worked for the tug barge company. And Lawrence could sure pay a good marine. But as far as being captain of the vessel is concerned, I never sailed on the ship that he was captain of. There never was such a ship. he was a great marine painter.
He was a pretty good writer, wasn't he?
I don't know.
War correspondent?
Now you're getting me in hot water. I don't know.
Didn't you tell me one time that... Lawrence never took a drink?
Well, he would take a drink. He was in the White Building, here in the White Building when I was in there, and he had a studio there for a while. But he couldn't sell enough pictures here to live in. And he had to give it up. But I would go down with just about, with a drink, I'd say, Sidney, have a drink. Well, just to please me, he'd take a drink about so big. He did not like to drink. And I've had many a man tell me that he had many a drunk with Sidney Lawrence. It's a damn lie. Nobody ever got drunk with him. He didn't drink. He did give a party once in a while when he'd sell a picture for a couple of $1,000, which he did several times in Anchorage, or $2,500. And that's that. I don't think that's a lot of money. I'm still in the shape where I think that's quite a bit of money for a painter to get. But, put me back on the track, that was asking.
I was going to ask you, do you know where the Sidney Lawrences came from that are at the Olympia Brewery? That big collection down there in Tumwater.
Well, didn't that fellow have an interest in the Olympia Hotel?
In the Washington Hotel.
Washington Hotel, I mean, yes. That's where they came from.
So, in other words, while he was down here, Sidney Lawrence swapped room and board for paintings.
Well, I presume so. I presume so.
Didn't you make him a member of the Puget Sound group while he was outside?
An honorary member of it, yes. We made him an honorary member. He was also a member of the Sal McGundy Club, New York.
Oh, you're a member too, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a member too, but remember, I didn't tell you that. You asked me.
Are you the only one in the Pacific Northwest who is?
Well, you asked me that. Yes, I'm the only one.
I just wanted to show how modest you are.
Well, I'm just pretending. I know you.
How long was it? Did you see Lawrence after he became famous? Did you have much to do with him?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. He went to California. He was down there for several years. gone down there. He went right back to Alaska when he got so bad he had to get back to Alaska. He tried it here too. But it was Alaska was it. And another thing Lawrence did, which is very important, he gave the Alaskans their great taste for pictures. And I'll bet you that Alaska, that state per capita, has more paintings than any state in the Union. And Lawrence gave that taste to Alaska. And made the men of Alaska, the toughs and the roughs and the bums and the pimps and everything else, crazy about painting. It wasn't effeminate to like paintings in Alaska. But by golly, when people don't know me and don't know me personally, they ask me what my business is. I never tell them I'm an artist because it's a disreputable profession, supposedly, and they look at you with a dirty look. It's a condemned profession, and I keep it quiet. But those that I know, I don't mind telling because they think that I'm better than I am.
You know if Lawrence ever painted the prostitutes for models?
No, he
never. Around Cordova? I know some artists have.
Well, I didn't, and he didn't. I'll tell you one thing, I don't think he ever painted a nude from life in his life.
Well, I wasn't talking about nudes.
What?
I wasn't talking about nudes.
Nudes?
Just prostitutes.
No, he didn't. I don't believe he did, no.
How about Cap Lathrop? Did he ever buy any Lawrence's, you know?
Yes, he bought that very fine picture in the... hangs in the University of Alaska now, and the finest pictures Lawrence ever painted to Mount McKinley. And I made the presentation speech when it was unveiled at Cordova. And they took that great big picture out of the crate. I've got to stand up for a minute. My leg gives me trouble. And the sun was just pouring down. And they brought this beautiful picture out and uncrated it. There must have been 40 or 50 people watching this. And that sun beat down on that picture in about 20 minutes. And it took a beautiful golden glow off the painting that never came back again.
That's all.
The picture's still a knockout, but boy, it was a picture of paradise when he painted it. And that, you expose an oil painting to it, bright sunlight for just a few minutes, and you can kill it, and you can kill a watercolor the same way. That's a great picture, that one, that's in the University of Alaska. And furthermore, he bought that, and he gave it to, I think he gave it to Miss Dickey, Miriam Dickey.
And she left it at the university?
And she gave it at the university, yeah.
Well, technically, what happened? Did the varnish go on the painting?
It was a glaze. That's a transparent film that you put over a picture. And Lawrence used a color called Rose Doré, a very beautiful color. But it's a it's not a permanent color. It's not a permanent color, and very few colors are permanent. That's why I paint pictures in black, yellow, ochre, and red, and white, and nothing else, and that's all there is in that picture I gave you, except that book. That's the only spot in it. And I paint generally with that simple palette. But Lawrence used a more elaborate palette than that.
Will you describe his technique? I mean, did he start out with a knife, stick with a brush?
No, he painted with a brush, and I remember one thing he told me which was very valuable. He said, don't paint like that, or like that. Spread it on. Well, that means a great deal to a painter, because some very good masters, I studied painting in Yale under Sergeant Kendall, and I learned a lot from him. He was very good to me. But yet there are some good painters that paint with called pointillism now, spots and dashes and stuff like that. Lawrence didn't believe in that. He said, spread it on. In other words, have your masses as simple as you can, such as that half-finished picture there. I've got a lot of simple things that I haven't started to paint stuff in here. I haven't painted that stuff. I've got to be very careful to keep that real flat, see? And that's what Sprague and I meant to mean. It meant a great deal to me. Now, those little technical things are very important to a painter. And he did that, too.
Do you know much about Lawrence's technical qualifications as an artist? Did he study in England, or...?
I don't think he studied in England. He studied in France, but I don't think he studied in England. He painted in England at St. Ives. He painted, and he was a member of the Birmingham Art Society there. He was not had no connection to the Royal Academy. I can... oh, no, I'm not going to tell this story. I know.
Well, you met him the first day you were in Cordova.
Yeah.
How long did he stay there then?
Well,
in and out?
He was in Cordova there about several months, and then he went to Lath, and then he went to Mount McKinley. And a bunch of men financed him for it. I knew some of them. Cap Lathrop and another fellow named Lathrop. Jim Lathrop, that was another one that helped him. And Sam Blum helped him. They raised quite a sum to send him in. They each gave him they would each get a picture for him after he came out, a sketch. And the first fellow that gave the money got first choice of pictures of the sketches he did see. And I think he made three trips into Mount McKinley. And his wife, his present wife, went in with him on one of those late trips.
That would be Jeannie.
Yeah, that would be Jeannie. He married her late in life. I keep on almost telling the things, you see, but I don't know. And that fellow's a bad actor up there.
Now, actually, Lawrence was not making a great deal of money when you first knew him, after his painting.
Oh, no. No. But it didn't take very long. In 3 years, he was. No, he never had any money. Mm-hmm. He never had any money, Lawrence. I'm a millionaire compared to Lawrence. I got it because my wife got the money. I never worked. I told one of my friends the other day that this is the first year I ever earned $10,000 in my life, and I wouldn't believe it. It is the first year I ever earned $10,000 in my life on paying. And this year's been better than that. Please don't mention that. Now, cut that out. Be sure and cut that out.
We'll take it out of there.
You will, yeah. Be sure to. I don't want those things again, but they do slip in. And my saying I have a rich wife and stuff, don't put that in at all. Vulgar, and we don't want to do it.
We'll get it out. Zig, Lawrence was represented by the Simpsons and Juno for quite a while, wasn't he?
Oh, my, yes. They were very good to him, too. They thought really of him.
They owned the Nugget Shop and sold
Lawrence. It was the center of all the ships stopped. They all, the families all went up there to see the pictures.
Do you remember when Richard Mellon came to Juno and started buying paintings from Simpson?
It was one of the Mellons that Bell knew, but it wasn't the important Mellon.
It was Dick from Pittsburgh, yeah.
It was Dick from Pittsburgh, yeah.
I just wondered whether, I know that she sold him some Lawrences, and I think she sold him some Ziegler's.
Oh, I don't know. Bell never told me who her customers were. She sold them from Lawrence. I know I could learn from the clerks that I sold one John Barrymore, though.
Is that so?
Yeah. I know what he said about Sydney, but I'm not going to tell you. But he didn't buy one to Sydney, and they tried to get him in there to buy a Sydney. He bought a Ziegler. I'm tickled to death. I hate Lawrence. No, you'll know that's just fun. I didn't hate him.
Sure.
I didn't hate anything about him at all. I liked everything about him. He was a very generous, kind man. And he never had anything but the nicest things to say to me about my work. And he admired the way I painted horses. One of the first. I had never painted pack horses and stuff till I went to Alaska, and then I got interested in him, and he liked the figures that I painted, and he was very generous in his praise to me, and I appreciated it very much. And furthermore, I not jealous of other painters. I've got to say that due to my a certain sense of decency. I really don't mean that. I really hate people that I'm competing with, see? Like you.
Yeah. Zig, was Lawrence a very fast worker? Could he turn out stuff?
Exceedingly. He was a very rapid painter. He painted 16 by 20 in one night.
He would?
He worked at night, pretty good. I'm a fast painter. I have to tell the hours nowadays. I don't work as many hours.
You gotta come in again.
I'm a very rapid painter, but I don't work very many hours anymore. I work probably three hours at the most now.
Did Lawrence work very much at a time?
He worked mostly at night.
Would he work always from sketches?
Oh, no. But Jeannie has a cigar box full of wonderful sketches of his. She showed them to me. And they're about the size of postcards.
Is that so?
And they're just dandies, yeah.
Did you ever know him to tent photographs of his paintings?
I don't think he did. I have. But I don't think he ever did. It's common practice now for artists to use photography in there to help.
When did you last see Lawrence?
Shortly before he died.
Was that up there in Anchorage or down here?
I saw him. Oh, is it? Down here, I saw a great deal of criticism. And by gosh, it hurt my feelings to think that I said, I didn't say it wasn't the Lawrence. I said I didn't think it was Lawrence. By golly. Father was going to buy it and already paid $2,500 on it, and he canceled the order. The last fellow is the fellow that bought Shorey's. He's a very important man here. He was a relative of Shorey's. He bought it, and he came down to see me. Well, if I'd have been that fellow, I'd have been mad at me. But by golly, I never met a finer man. He thanked me. He said, Mr. Ziegler, he said, I've got a great respect for what you think of Lawrence, he said, and I'm glad you did it.
Well, you kept him out of a great big fat lawsuit.
I know it.
Did you think that there was a part Lawrence painting?
I said I did not think it was a Lawrence. That's all I said. I said, now I don't say it isn't a Lawrence. I say I don't think it's a Lawrence. There's a difference there.
What I'm getting at is that there is a possibility that some impostors have worked.
Oh, definitely. I've seen several. They had one on the Alaska Steamship, one of the Alaska Steamship boats that they bought from Snyder that was supposed to be a Lawrence. And I took a trip with Sydney to Alaska. One trip he went up, he was on the ship. And he took me to that picture and he said, Ziegler, who painted that picture? Well, I said, you didn't. He said, I know I didn't. Your name was on it. Oh, yeah, I said. You see this print? Mine, I painted that Indian squaw, that's a print. The best sales, they're making an awful lot of sales in Alaska on them, and a lot of them here, to Olympic Hotel, hundreds. The most that they're selling are to West Germany. And the printer who made them, his name is Jaffe, and his father and his grandfather before him were both printers. And this fellow, Jaffe, reproduced that, is the one that made the engraving or the color reproduction of Rembrandt's Aristotle. It sold for $2,200,000 or $2,300,000. He's a very great printer.
Very nice.
That's the only time. I have two orders for two more pictures from this fellow. I got $1,000 for that. And I have two orders, but I'm not going to paint them. I just can't. I've got too many orders in here. Now, don't put that in, my friend, either. Don't put that in, please. I say things that come out too fast. And that's my vanity that does those things. It's natural to me to be vain. And I try to hide it, and I can't. It's there. And I always have to go to confessional for that. Well, lot of worse things than that, too, Fergus. You have, too, I think.
You want to go around the room, Dick?
Say, have you fellas had enough of this?
It's all very interesting, sir.
Oh,
I like it.
Gosh,
it's
I bet you'd be glad to get out of here. And you're going to get it all again. You poor soul. Think of what my wife has to go through. Lord.
Well, Zig, in Cordova, you used to handle the funerals when you were a missionary. Lathrop used to drive the horse and the sled and the corpse.
Yep, that's right.
Who did that painting of that?
Lambert.
That was Ted Lambert that did that.
He did. When I went a missionary, I went up there to be St. Francis of Assisi, and I meant it. In my ignorance, I meant it. I really meant it, and I tried to be a saint for a year and a half, we'll say. I really tried. Now, you can publish this if you want, too. It's a good story, and it's a true one, and of course, I'll come out as a hero, too. I hadn't been there but a few days when I walked down the street. Am I the right distance here? And a poor native came along, about 18, and very thin and cold. It was bitter and it was windy. I had a very good overcoat on. I had just come from Seattle. It wasn't a $145 coat, of course, but a damn near it, see, as you say. And I took my coat off and held it for this boy, and he got into my coat and walked off. Now, wasn't that a beautiful deed? That's St. Francis of Assisi. But I saw to it that the printer's devil from the weekly newspaper was there when it happened, and he wasn't 15 feet from me. And they put it in the paper. And by golly, I got a name of sanctity up there to this day. And that's just about where all the sanctity I ever got was at that time. I thought that was sanctity. Well, those acts of sanctity in God's sight aren't worth anything. You know that. You know much enough about theology to know that.
Well, the overcoat was worth $50 anyway.
It was, yeah. But I meant it. But I got over it. I failed miserably.
Well,
then I made a rotten missionary, and I didn't get fired. Because I resigned 5 minutes before the bishop fired me. And we were the best of friends, Bishop Rowe and I were, to the day of his death. And he was having a portrait painted by Neil Ardain here, not by Ziegler. Hell, he had to go to Neil Ardain, not me. And Neil Ardain said to me, "Zig, the bishop would like you to come and see him." And I said, "Did he say that?" I said, "I renounced his orders, and I was excommunicated and defrocked as a priest. I'm a Catholic." And he wanted to see me? And he said, "Yes, he really does." Because I hurt his feelings. That was a terrible thing to do, you know. I had lost the love of one of my brothers to a Jew, and a small price to pay. To hell with it, I meant it. And as soon as I opened the door and went in there, there was a bishop that had the chair taken from the cathedral here to the studio so that he could paint him in the bishop's chair, see? He got up out of the chair and he threw his arms around me and he said, "Eustace," he said, "we never can be anything but the best of friends." Now, isn't that a nice story?
That sure is.
And we were the best of friends.
Well, how did Sidney Lawrence get along with people like that? Did he socialize and go to the dances? Parties around town?
No, he wasn't there. He never hung around saloons or anything like that. Never.
No, but did he go to bridge parties or? Did he have any friends?
No, he was quite distant.
Was he married at the time you knew him?
Oh, no. He married Jeannie Blakely.
No. I thought he had had one prior marriage.
Well, I wouldn't say. And if I did, I don't believe it tells. I'm afraid that fellow. I've done an awful lot of damage already.
When did you come out of Alaska finally? When did you leave your residence up there?
Oh, I think it was about 30 years ago.
And until recently, you've been going back all the time.
I made 20 trips, at least.
After you left. Mm-hmm. What did you get, a grub stake or something, so you'd come outside and start in again?
Well, during the Depression, I went to two different people and asked for financial assistance, and I wanted to buy paintings from them. And those are the only time in my whole life as a painter that I asked anybody to buy my picture. And I did it three times, and I regret it very much. But hell, everybody was poor as a devil.
Oh, I don't think. I had also robbed the till of the church in Alaska, getting enough to eat up there. It was $750 a year. I had to steal from the collection box many times. And I felt terrible about it, but I'm all over now. I deserved it. But yet, I don't think I did a very good job.
Well, how did Lawrence make out during the Depression? Was he selling?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I wasn't in contact, very close contact with him during the Depression.
Well, Jules Dallagher sold pretty well during the Depression, didn't he?
Oh, no, not during the Depression. I never knew Ben was sold during the Depression.
I think we've about got to tell him.
That all?
Well,
good. You're through, huh?
I think that we've kept you long enough on one subject.
Gosh, you sure got an awful lot out of me. I just regret most everything I said. You son of a gun, you. You're just awful, Fergus. I think I'm going to dislike you worse than ever.
Well, the price you're paying, I can take it.
Well, I have if it's all right, Fergus.
I have this movie man a few minutes.
I have just one question.
Step in a little thing so you can get it on the phone. Why don't you go ahead?
I don't quite know how to put it. Just a single question. It seems to me now, as a viewer, that Lawrence had a great understanding of nature. Now, you said, of course, earlier that he lived with nature.
He did.
Whenever on these three trips he would go out, did he travel heavy, or did he take his creature comforts?
He sent me... He gave me a picture of his cabin that he lived in, and it was near the Peters Hills, back of Cache Creek, north of Cache Creek, and he sent a picture of his cabin that he lived in, and I think he must have made the cabin himself.
That's what I was going to ask. I think he was the type of man could go in and hack out a cabin.
Well, you would never think it to look at it.
No, I noticed from some of the pictures, he's a rather polished-looking man.
He was delicate.
And you tell us a small man, too. I didn't know this. But he was able, he understood nature well enough when he was out there. Not only could he view it... With empathy, but he could also live it.
He was a pretty good carpenter.
Ah, that's interesting. He was handy with his hands.
He was handy with his brush.
Yeah. Did you ever see him work around small boats much?
No. I had a sailboat myself in Alaska.
I see.
Lawrence wasn't the slightest degree interested in
it. I see. Then you could say his greater interest in the marine work was the painting of it, rather than to live the marine life.
Yeah, but I don't underestimate his gift as a marine painter. He's a magnificent marine painter.
No. I thought that might be an interesting thing, in as much as he had a great empathy with the sea.
It was largely
from viewing.
He could paint the water beautiful.
Yes.
And the sky. He was primarily a marine painter when he came to Alaska.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah.
I see.
He never painted mountains before.
Then it was more or less McKinley that, as we were told, that influenced him.
He never painted landscapes before. It was always marines.
I see.
He was a marine painter primarily.
Well, now...
This sale of the picture in the Luxembourg... I found in a very important book at the library, which I can't recall now because my memory's so bad.
Well, that's a very interesting point that you made. there could be disappointment, of course, over the history of the particular work that people would expect to be in the other museum and being at Luxembourg, which is indeed a compliment.
Oh,
this is
great.
A fine showplace.
That's plenty.
Yes, this is not negative in the least.
Not in the least.
No.
It's a great honor.
Well, can I ask you one thing? You had some interesting things there about his capacity of fast work.
Yes, he was
he a man to sweat a particular painting, that is,
labor over it? He wasn't excitable, no.
He
was calm.
Once he'd usually start a painting, why, he'd just generally go ahead and finish it without hitting any blocks.
No, he didn't have any troubles.
I see.
Even I don't have any troubles painting.
Well, that's evident from the work, sir.
Well, and thank you, but I really don't now have...
I know there is the type of artist who does
now,
very...
For example, I'm incapacitated in a great many ways. I'm very forgetful. Very. Particularly in the past year since I've had this illness, a bruised nerve. I'm very forgetful. I can't add my checkbook to that carry, you see. Don't put this stuff. Don't put that in.
This could be added.
I've got to go to my wife every week and hand her my checkbook, and she patches it up for
That's
me.
That's good to have a secretary.
And she showed me, she found that I made a mistake of $300 the last week, see? It was to my credit that I made it.
Naturally.
I had more in the bank than I thought I had, see?
Well,
it was in my favor. But I make those mistakes, and I... She doesn't know how dumb I am intellectually now.
This conversation has been very, very, very nice and very interesting from a first-hander rather than something that's been passed on by word of mouth.
But when it comes to painting, my friend, I'm perfectly at home at that easel. I can paint better than I can do anything else. It's habit, see?
Well, I notice your studio.
I'm perfectly at home at that easel. I can paint better than I can do anything else. It's habit, see?
Well, I notice your studio here. Now, it's evident that what you start on, you finish along the same sort of line, evidently, that Lawrence did, where you're not cluttered up with a lot of mental blocks in here.
No.
And this sometimes happens, I understand, with good artists, too. You know, this will happen with good artists. It's no curse. Probably is to the artist who bears it. However, it is interesting to know that
look at my age, how long I've painted. Good heavens and earth. I should be able to do it without trouble. I don't have trouble, Vito. I don't have problems. Bad as they are, I don't say they're good. But as good as they are, or as bad as they are, they're no trouble to me. I know I can do them, see? And when I was 25 and 30 and even 40, I had trouble all the time. And I don't think that industry is a virtue at all. I think you're simply supposed to be industrious. And a man who beats his wife there's no virtue in a man who doesn't beat his wife. He's simply not supposed to beat his wife, see?
Yeah.
But some people think that if you're industrious, that you're virtuous. There's a virtue in industry. There isn't. It's a habit. You're either industrious or you're not, and it's a habit with me, see?
Well, from what you say, that'd be pretty much Lawrence's painting habits and philosophy, too, then, in that line, you think?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't say that.
Well, it's been very interesting, and I sure thank you, sir.
Well, gosh, I've had such an awful time looking at that fellow up there.
It must have been.
I hope there's a lot of that stuff cut out. And I trust you.
We'll handle it discreetly.
I hope you will.
What radio station you want to put on tonight?
I've had that phone on me.
But you have.
I've had that phone on me at Anchorage, and it was just terrible. But they gave me the record. They finally gave me the record. I didn't know they had that damn thing in my ear yet back then.
Is that right? That's not fair.
The end to the newspaper was there, too. And that was a dirty trick, guys. It was on Father Hubbard. And I said some things about Father Hubbard that I shouldn't have said.
Now, that's a dirty trick, Mr.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, it's a take a man's voice.
And I do get over enthusiastic at times. But I don't want it for one minute anyone to think that I have the greatest respect in the world for Sidney Lawrence and what he has done over Alaska.
That's been made very plain this afternoon.
Yes,
sir,
I hope it has.
And certainly he's worthy of it.
Yes, indeed. And I have a great deal of sympathy and admiration for a dozen painters in Alaska, too. We've got some very good painters in Alaska.
Could I ask you a question?
Certainly.
What's your feeling on us having a show of this nature? What's your feeling on this?
Well, I feel highly flattered. I'm human. I hope they like my pictures. And I may pretend that I don't like to be told they're beautiful. I do. I like people to tell me they like my picture. Yeah. I hope they do. But I also really believe, I hope I keep believing, that I've had more than I deserve. Much more than I'd hate to have it go down that I thought I was unappreciated. I think I've been overappreciated always.
Not over, but you are appreciated, sir. Please.
I know I've never had any bad luck in my life. Never.
That's a great statement to make, if you're at your age.
By golly, I had something happen yesterday. This isn't working, is it?
I turned out for one.
I don't care, no. I went to the liquor store yesterday, and I thought I had to. I didn't know who was coming down here, whether they wanted to drink or whether they didn't. And I went and bottled of liquor. Right next to me was a very nice looking Negro. He was about 60 years old, and a very nice looking Negro. I love some Negroes and I don't like others. I've been shoved off the sidewalk by Negroes too, and by white men too. Neither here nor there. But I said to this fellow, which I've often said to other people, "Gee, you look fine. I'll trade places with you. Will you trade?" They always say, "No." And I've also asked many times, if you had your life to live over again, would you do as you've done? And in most instances, no, not most, in a good many instances, I've heard people say, "No, I'd live just as I have." Well, I've always appreciated that. I think that if we have several more years to live in, we can clean a whole lot of stuff up. And when a man says that he thinks his life has been perfectly satisfactory, and if he had another 10 years to live, he'd live it just the same, I'm skeptical of him. I said to this Negro, "I'll trade places with you." And he looked at me for a minute, and he said, "I'll trade with you."
Yeah.
I said, "I'm older than you," I said. "I can afford to talk to you. You're only 60 years old. I'm near 90. I'm 80. I said, "Would you, if you live longer, would you change your way of life, any?" He said, "I sure would." That's a very rare thing to happen.
It's true.
And only a couple of times has that happened when I've interrogated people. What do you think about it? Don't you think that's right?
I agree with you personally. I don't know what the other people think.
Yeah.
Man can look back on mistakes.
Well, when another very prominent man in town, I said, "Hello, so-and-so, we're in a friend." Well, new man. I said, "Andrew, I'll trade places with you." like me. That had a friendly attitude. Got in his car and yelled out to them and said, Zig, I wouldn't trade places with you. See? Well, there's a difference between him and that Negro. See? Andrew died very shortly after. But this Negro, he says, no, if I had an extra year to live, I could patch a whole lot of things up, see? The man that says he would do as he's always done, he's a hopeless case. I won't charge you for this sermon.
Well, Zig, if you'd swap place with that Negro, you could get yourself a art scholarship down at Howard University and have a few years to study art.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, I meant it when I said I'd trade him because he had 15 years ahead. He was 15 years.
Well, I don't know what Mary would say.
Well, wouldn't he have been surprised to find that he was a good painter?
I wouldn't think of it surprised to find out he was a Negro.
Oh, well,
that ought to do it.
You could be more than damn.